Stephen Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about solving partnership disagreements. Well, it only happens once a year.
Yes, exactly. As co-CEOs, we have this licked.
And we feel qualified to talk to you about the very, very infrequent disagreements you're going to have with your partner, especially if she's your spouse.
Thanks. So here, my first thought was, what if we put that on a business card? I wonder if who would catch it, like co-CEO. Number two, then I thought, are we going to have business cards anymore?
No on the business cards, and I have heard of co-CEOs.
Wait a minute. Last time I checked, you can't catch anything. Well, you can catch stuff, but you can't catch the COVID from handing things over.
You know what's silly about business cards, really quickly, is that in this day and age, everything changes all the time.
Right.
You know, there's how many phone numbers do we have now? Especially if you're sending out a lot of mail campaigns to different states and stuff. How many email addresses do we have? And nothing's worse than getting a business card and the stuff all scratched out on it. Well, here's my real phone number. Here's my real last name. My last name changed.
I'm going to do that. That I'm going to do. Next time I put a business, I'm going to do that. I'm going to cross off. I'm going to put all kinds of changes, new number, then hand that to somebody. Put co-CEO. I think I'm kidding.
Yeah. Change the name of the company.
Hang on a minute. Scross. Yep. Oh, wait, hang on a minute. Oh, that would be so funny.
Here's the thing that, you know, you could look at it and say,
I would do that just to be funny.
The name
funny.
Of the company's changed. My email address has changed. My physical address has changed. My last name's changed. I'm not married anymore.
My phone number changed.
Yep, turn the card over. Oh, and my slogan's different. And I'm in a different business.
That's what I'm going to do. Think I'm kidding? I'm going to totally do that. I think that's hilarious. I just want to see the look on someone's face when I say, here's my card, and I hand them it. It's all scratched. It's all rewritten with them.
And what's on there? Like the new... It shouldn't be a business card.
I'm like, well, let me redraw the new logo I'm leaking about.
You know, when I talk to anybody, whenever we start, it's just when we run into people and there's, what do you do? What do you do? And we get through it and it's all like, well, that's awesome. You know, what do I do? I said, go to landacademy.com. No one ever says, what? How do you spell that? What is it?
That's personal.
How many times have you said, well, what's your name? Stephen Butella. What? Kukala? Dindida? What? No, just go to Land Academy. It's all there. My entire life has been like that.
My life.
You know what frustrates me? I'm going to use this time to vent for a second.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to make this about partnership.
Okay.
The next time you walk into your partner's office.
Make me cry a little bit.
Walk into your partner's office, whatever version of that, whatever that means to you. And they're on the
AKA
phone.
AKA the back bedroom.
They're on the phone. I want you to listen to the conversation. And I want you to specifically listen to, because this is what goes on with Jill. And it's not her fault. Jill says something like, that's awesome, Mr. Smith. You actually have extra property? I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. You go first. You have extra property? Not daughter D, property. And this goes on. For hours.
Because of my internet?
Stop for a second. Oh. Please, just let me get through this, all right?
Okay.
What the hell is the problem? I don't know if it's our country and how we all speak with each other, that we can't speak in full sentences, we can't understand each other, and that it's been, for some reasons, socially acceptable or acceptable in any way to say things three times before anyone understands anything. I've had a lot of people recently say to me, wow, you speak in full sentences. I understood exactly what you just said. Like it's really the exception, not the rule. So it's very, very frustrating because I know Jill speaks the same way, to hear her on the phone and her staff on the phone just having to repeat everything three times and they're missing key parts of the sentences. I don't think it's technology.
Thanks.
I'm not knocking you at all.
There's
the lack of understanding and basic communication in what I think is like sixth grade level sentences.
Is it people just don't know how to focus and listen?
I'm throwing it out there. I don't know. All I know is that it's getting worse and worse and worse. I'm sure technology has something to do with it. You know, if you're old enough to remember talking on copper hardline phones, for whatever reason, that venue allows two people to talk at the same time, the same way our audio video, you know, our voices and our ears can process it in person. You know, if you've ever watched four or five women, girlfriends, get together for the first 10 minutes of their conversation in a restaurant, every single one of them's talking, every single one of them's talking to each other, and every single one of them's processing it and listening at the six people that are talking. And you can't, the devices that we're using to communicate don't support two-way conversation.
That's true.
And it's very, very frustrating.
No, it's just interesting how observant you are. Like, I was out to dinner with my friend the other night. We're having a conversation over here. Two girls across the table are having a conversation. And we can be deep in a conversation, and I'll go, oh my gosh, you're right. Good idea. I'll get to that in a second. And then da-da-da. So, I was picking up on what they're talking about, too. Oh, that's smart.
So I'm lucky. I'm the luckiest guy in the world because, and this goes into this topic, I get to sit in a black hole for 2 days, create the perfect data set from multiple sources, and get out a perfect, and then it's kind of like, all right, I'm going to take a look at my calendar, mark it off. I did it. I got it to O2O, and I'm going to move on to the next perfect data set so that these guys can close deals. But it's, you know, I've had to have this conversation with my partners and friends recently. Like, dude, just please stop calling me. I don't want to talk to you. And the last thing, please don't do this. Hey, Steve, give me a call. Thanks. You can't text that? Or tell me what you want. Give me a call. I got a great idea about a mobile home thing down in Pinal County. Oh, now I know what the hell. And it took just as long. You could text that too, though.
What's this show about?
Solving partnership disagreements. Because okay, I think a lot of problems start with people because they can't hear each other. They're not listening to each other. Or maybe this too. They're not thinking about what they're saying before they say it. So what they could say in maybe less than a sentence or one word to a sentence, they're thinking about it out loud, especially on a cell phone with bad reception. And it just doesn't come out right. Where it comes out exactly how you say it, let's say that.
We'll get more into it, I'm sure.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on a landinvestors.com online community. It's free. It starts out fun, and then it just becomes, you know, a reality problem.
Apparently, Stephen has a lot to say today, but I'm still going to get to the question, and then we'll come back to Stephen in a moment. First, let's take a word from our sponsors. Landinvestors.com, the online community. It's free.
Our own company is our sponsor.
You like that? Exactly. Gary wrote, in searching the forums, I did not find where this was posted previously, so I wanted to share something I stumbled across in a Wall Street Journal article of June 30th. First Street Foundation, a nonprofit, is sharing at no charge a resource for flood modeling. It can be accessed at floodfactor.com and reportedly assesses 14.6 million properties being at 1% annual flood risk versus FEMA's 8.7 million. This is very interesting. It's almost double. The reason for the difference is said to be that the floodfactor.com includes parts of the country not mapped by FEMA, and also includes current climate data and flooding due to rainfall, where FEMA is focused on floodplain management. The entire article is worthwhile reading. I've attached a PDF copy. That's pretty cool. Thanks, Gary.
Why do we care?
I care.
You care about a 1% annual flood risk?
Oh, no.
No, I'm not saying we should care or shouldn't care. I'm not formulating an opinion.
Oh.
I think a lot of time, a couple of days ago, we did a show on tools. You know, what are good tools that are worthwhile and what tools are not? Okay. Why do we care for properties in a floodplain? Well, we care if it's
I was that a real question or not? I'm ready to answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I need to know what improvements I have to do to the property to be able to build up on it.
That's
or
all.
Not me, but the next guy.
Yeah, for us, it's like I'm making an acquisition decision real quick. Right. The thing's in a floodplain, and if you go to, there's a lot of ways to get FEMA data. You know, neighbors, we develop NeighborScoop. That's how I get my FEMA data. It's an overlay on our thing, and it ranks it with percentages. You know, 1%, 100-year floodplain. There's a lot of different. It's color coded. You can see if it's underwater or not. That's my point.
Right.
This all drives lending. Do we lend on land usually? No. We don't borrow money in a traditional sense to buy it, and people that we sell it to usually write a check. So while this is great, and I appreciate the information, and now we know that it's out there, and that's why I chose to do it on the show, is it necessary? And here's my big picture point, question everything. Just because it's this new tool that somebody put out there, it might be named Flood Factor, it might be named NeighborScoop. You really need to, as an investor and an adult, question everything. Is it worth it? Do I need it? Is it usable? Is the information that I'm getting? Are the numbers on TikTok, did I really just get 800,000 views on a little horsey thing that I went across the screen on? I don't think so.
I understand.
That's the point. And a 1% annual flood risk, a bank's not going to care about that at all, which is why it's not on FEMA's radar.
Thank you.
And I would love to know the source of data that Flood Factor has. Aside from
Fields. What are they doing?
That's my concern.
You know what's interesting? What if it's the same as NeighborScoop? Because we take the FEMA flood maps and overlay them on CoreLogic spatial data to get ours. So I'm super curious.
So just because I download and along these same lines, just because I download a data set for a county that I picked from RealQuest Pro or DataTree, I need to know where that data is coming from.
Right. You
know, I know DataTree specifically has multiple algorithms that are contributing to that data set,
yeah.
While RealQuest is generally, if not only, uses county data for at least the portion of RealQuest that we're using.
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to dig deep and find out what's going on here. How fresh is the data?
That's true, you know, too.
Everybody has a personality trait. Now, I'm not talking about just little decisions that they make that are that's in our advanced group.
Right.
They question everything. Every single thing. To the point
I don't.
I do.
I'm joking.
That's why
I'm being sarcastic. This is leading into the whole part of the show about solving partnership disagreements. I'm saying, oh, baby, I don't question everything. And you're about that, and you know that's not true. That's why I'm being sarcastic.
Let's get into it.
Please.
Today's topic, dissolving. Dissolving. So Freudian.
Wow.
Solving partnership disagreements, not dissolving.
Partnership agreements. That's it. This is perfect. Here we go.
This is the meat of the show.
Here we go.
Boy,
you
is
choose.
It the meat of the show.
You choose. Which topic would you, which title, please leave it in our YouTube comments, by the way. Would you prefer solving partnership disagreements or dissolving partnership agreements? We can tackle either one.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, okay?
Okay.
If you and I ever disagreed as business partners on what piece of property, all these properties come in, whether or not we should buy a piece of property.
No.
Excellent. I have the same answer.
Yeah.
Have we ever disagreed about what office space we should house our people and ourselves in?
Heck no.
Have we ever? I agree.
Yeah.
I'll stop when I totally disagree.
Okay.
Have we ever disagreed on employee handbooks or hours of work or anything related to like administrative stuff?
Nope.
So what have we disagreed on? Because I agree with you
so far.
That's
a very good question. What? Styles of doing
information
things.
Inspiration,
right? But we don't get on each other's way. I don't think. I know your role, you know my role. We just sometimes blend them a little too much. Does that make sense?
Yeah, here's what I think we disagree on in general.
Yeah, save me. I'm not sure where you're going here.
Well, so far so good. So apparently we don't disagree on anything.
Apparently not.
Jill and I disagree on it and always have disagreed on and probably always will in some form what we should be working on.
That's true.
We've got Land Academy. We have all these tech companies like NeighborScoop and O2O. We have these relationships with licensed providers for all these data companies. You know, and then we have our actual real business. You know, before 2015, Jill and I had one company.
I know. It was dreamy with one company.
Buy a bunch of real estate, sell it for more, go get a scotch. That was the whole company. And people still ask me, what do you guys do? Hey, I buy a piece of real estate and sell it for more. And they usually look at the floor and just say, what an ass. They do.
Why?
Because they don't believe it. Oh. They don't believe that, you know. You can pull up in the cars that we have and live where we live. That's true. Just,
so what do you do to it? Nothing.
Well, how do you do that?
Come on. I mean, like you had to remodel or something. No.
How do you do that then?
Well,
we send out a million offers.
There it goes blind sideways.
Offers. How do you send out a million offers? Well, through what's called a mail merge and a data set and on and on and on, and then it's over. Okay, have a good day.
Yeah. Then if it
it's too much work.
Their eyes glossed over. Yeah. They're like, wait a minute. They don't get it.
So I think, I was hoping we could get, find out. You know, I hope this is going to be like a therapy session. We could have some revelations.
Well, let's talk about this for a minute. Solving partnership disagreements. So it's really about, here's what I want to talk about. I'm thinking of people in our situation. There are plenty of people in our community that are partners. They might be brothers. They might be parents. I know in our personally in Land Academy, we have brothers. We have fathers and sons. We do have husbands and wives like us. You know, all kinds of different interesting relationships like that. And some that aren't even related, right? They just met. Maybe they met at a live event with us and they're doing things together. Disagreements are going to happen no matter what. So I'd like to talk about things that we have learned that we can maybe help you solving issues.
That's nice of you. I thought this was just going to be about us.
Thank you. No, it's not just about us. So I'm trying to think of what would probably be things that we don't disagree upon. Others probably do. I probably think that there's partners in our world that they disagree on property. Let's start right there. I'm pretty sure someone's saying, buy it, don't buy it. Buy it, don't buy it. Well, you know what? Screw you. I'm going to buy it anyway. I'm sure that happens.
Oh, I bet. Jill, I bet you're right.
Sure that happens. And then the other person's waiting for it to fail to go, ah, told you so. That was a bad one. So you can't do that. And what's interesting is I have personally had deal funding situations with very accomplished, advanced group members. Bad decisions happen. Mistakes happen. They have made mistakes. For me, the best thing to do is I blindly trust them. I trust that you know your job. You trust that I know my job. And like I'm using this as an example. It was a property that should have never been bought, A, and B, not at that price. I trusted the person. They were doing their job. They brought to me a deal. They had 16 reasons why it was a great deal. I didn't even really ask because I trusted them. They had a good track record. And as it turned out, it wasn't a good purchase. Am I giving them a hard time about it? No. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, mistakes happen. It's okay.
The key word there is trust. And that was exactly what I was going to bring up next. There's like 19 places I trust you. And I'd like to think the same is true with us. So, you know, why wouldn't you trust somebody then? Well, maybe you picked the wrong partner. Right. Maybe they have not a good track record. Maybe the last five deals they did didn't work. I've never heard of that in land, but maybe that's the case. Or maybe, just maybe, you're not at the self-security level that you should be, where you should be, to trust anybody. Maybe you're the kind of person that has to do everything on your own, take responsibility for everything on your own, and that's it. And you know what? This land business is perfect for you.
Because you could be a one-man show?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have people, multiple people in our advanced group that are a one-man show that choose to use for the remedial silly tasks the Philippines or some virtual assistant or whatever. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Part-time staff.
You know, and then, but it's going to severely limit the number of deals that you're doing. But that the business, this business is set up for that. There's no real overhead, except there's no real fixed costs.
Right.
You can do this at the end of your bed. So where do the real partnership disagreements come from?
Yeah, and I want so and then I want to talk about how to solve them. Because I know we have some great stuff. You think it's really ego?
Yeah. And yeah, it's very foreign to you, like you're shaking your head like, because you don't have it, and neither do I. Yeah. I'm happy to be wrong. As long as we don't do it again, I'll take responsibility for everything. I just don't want to repeat the same thing over and over again, and I see people with a huge ego having to do that.
It's true. They're too proud to say, it's wrong, I made a mistake.
Here's my whole thing about any kind of disagreement. I don't care if it's with your spouse, your kid, or anything. I don't care who is wrong. I don't care what was said or how it got to the point where there's a disagreement. I care about everyone saying, yep, I was 50% responsible. I was 50% responsible. Now let's just fix this. Hopefully it's not going to take more than 30 minutes. And let's just move on and make sure it doesn't happen again.
That's an excellent, excellent way to solve this stuff. And that's usually what we do.
Yeah.
It's kind of like at the end. First, there's a bitching session. Seriously. There's a little bit of, but you did, but I did, but you did, but I'm just being honest.
I can't stand that.
I know. That stuff comes up sometimes. Not all the time, but it does happen sometimes. You're going to be, or even if you don't verbalize it in your head, you're like, gosh darn it. Why are we in this situation? What happened? What went wrong? You know, you have to go through that for a few minutes, and then you come up and go, all right, I'm done now. Are we on the same page? Yes. Of course we're on the same page. We're partners. Now how are we going to get through this? And then together, figure out a plan. And I'm a fan of either you divide up the tasks, or if one's better at one thing and one's better at the other thing, just get it done.
Then there's peeves. You know, we've all heard of pet peeves. That phrase is grossly overused, in my opinion, because that should be one thing. You can't have more than one pet peeve. You can have a lot of peeves, but this is my pet peeve.
I did not know that.
So okay. Jill's got some peeves. Here's one of her peeves. When people rush their paperwork, and when I say people, I mean me, make mistakes, which I almost always do with paperwork. And then it comes back 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years later, like you got to do a corrective deed, or there's all kinds of stuff. You know, to the point where they don't let you do paperwork anymore at all. So that's one of her peeves, and she unloads about it. She gets, and maybe probably rightfully so.
That is one.
It's like I got to go backwards now. I got to undo that. It's going to take me 16 times longer to undo this thing if you would have spent 10 minutes just checking your work or asking somebody else to look at it, just like your third grader teacher told you to do. And she's not wrong. So she can get mad about it every time, but she doesn't. You know what she does? She finds somebody who's great at paperwork, whether it's in-house or outsourced, to do the stuff instead of me.
That's true.
Is how a mature adult in a partnership, social partnership, or in a professional partnership, in my opinion, solves it. Not beating the person over the head who is not into doing it that task anyway.
Because, you know, that's a very good point. Thank you very much. That's very sweet of you. You have to quickly figure out if someone's not good at something and they think they are, there's going to be a good way to let them know. And you have to be open to take it too. There's lots of things that you've said to me and you're like, yeah, you're just not good at that.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, okay, I'll give you an example. You want to talk? You want to share? Here's something really personal we're going to share right now. You have recently brought to my attention in the last 14 days that my typing sucks. And I was adamant. I'm like, fine, smarty pants. You go online, find a typing test. We'll both take it right now and share our results. So we did.
This is a true story.
And he's right. My typing sucks.
It was like in the red.
It's like, I type just fine for what I need. I'm like, I'm no problem. But apparently I need to. So he's like, he was telling me, you need to take some typing tests. I'm like, so will you knock it off? I don't. And then I did this. Okay, fine. So it takes a big person.
By the way, I did take the same typing test.
He did. Anyway. Takes a big, I'm like patting myself on the back because that was hard for me, really hard for me to admit that, like, yeah, I guess my typing does suck. Just look the other way, by the way. I'm working on it. So I'm like, it's so weird because I don't know how to. Obviously, I haven't got into my typing 101 stuff again. And I did take typing in high school, but it's been a little while. Go ahead.
We're at the point in our career. Like, I don't want Jill to. It's very often that I come into office, Jill's office at 6 or 7 o'clock at night and say, you got to stop.
I know.
Jill, you got to stop. We got to go have some fun or have some dinner or laugh or something. And by the way, the reverse is never true. She never has to pull me off the computer at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, ever. If I let, it's like a goldfish. If I let her just work, she'll work the whole time. Like a goldfish will eat until it dies.
What's wrong with me? I like it.
So, you know.
But you know what I do? Well, here, let me back up.
That's been a disagreement with us. Let me finish this thought real quick. So my answer was, this has been going on for years. My answer is and was to overstaff. And we do enough deals where we can easily have one or two extra people on our payroll, W-2 payroll, so that she doesn't have to do that. Did it solve it? Absolutely not. She finds something else to work on. Like a politician will find something else to spend money on.
I like it. I gotta say. That's her answer. I do. Well, you know what? You do a different... This is a therapy. Here we go.
There's compliments all spattered throughout
this
room.
It's true.
Right? Well, you see it that way, don't you?
I do. Well, you know what the difference for me is? Well, I'm sitting in my office. It's the same version of you sitting on the couch looking at real estate on your phone or on your laptop. Because I look at it like that, too.
Or researching, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you call it. And that's kind of what I'm doing. So half the stuff in my office, it's not necessary. Honestly,
you just happen to do it in your office.
I kind of like my office. It's quiet in there, and it smells good.
Unlike the rest of the house?
Yeah, kind of.
Why didn't you just say that like 2 years ago?
I did say that. I have a candle in there. I have different lighting. I'll tell you, I have a candle in there. I have different lighting. I have mood music if I want it. I can close the door. I have my own little private bathroom in there. And I'm about to call my girlfriend in next week. I don't know if I'm bringing Lisa over, and she's going to help me kind of like totally redo it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, totally. So I like my office. So it's kind of my
thing. Did we help at all in this episode?
I am not sure, but man, it was long.
Here's honestly, you know, not honestly, cutting to the, well, that's too late to cut to the chase. What other cliches can...
That was 20 minutes
cliches
ago.
Cliches going to destroy.
How about
I
let's...
think that comes down to this, because this whole topic came up because somebody was asking us recently, like, what the hell, why are you guys together? You seem happy. What's this?
You seem happy.
You seem happy in a sea of unhappy people. And you know what my answer is? We know how to resolve conflict.
Oh.
Jill and I can get into it like nobody's business. And you know what? It's almost always done less than 15 minutes later. And that's the truth of it. And I think people get into huge problems, both professionally and socially, by avoiding any type of conflict, not resolving it at all, and just jamming it down into your soul. And that's how you resolve partnership disagreements.
Happy you could join us today. Monday through Friday, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called Getting Rejected by Your Local Escrow Agent. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. So you can't make a title up like that, because we just got rejected by a local real estate, a local escrow agent.
I will tell you the story. And thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us create the type of content that you're here for. Hitting the like button helps support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest for future shows. And you know me, it's all about the data.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.